You don't see them, but without them, the 200-year-old White House would simply not function. Kate Anderson Brower, author of The Residence, Inside the Private World of the White House, told WTOP, there is a universe of people at the White House that we never see.
Well, there are about 90 to 95 resident staffers, and these are the butlers, the housekeepers, the cooks, the florists, the engineers. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's a universe of people at the White House that you never really see. And they are incredibly dedicated to their jobs. They have a great respect for the presidency, and they stay on from one administration to the next. So they are a rare group of nonpartisan, really people who are dedicated to democracy in a way that you don't see very much anymore.
You've met a lot of people that work in the White House. Tell me what you've learned from them.
Well, you know, I interviewed more than 50 former resident staff and also a current resident staffer for my book on the residence. And this was during the Obama years. And since then, I've spoken to three resident staff who worked during the Trump years. And these are people who don't earn very much money. I mean, they're federal government employees. So they make between $30,000 and the very, very top is the mid, $150,000 range. And those are the executive housekeeper, executive chief usher. And yes, there are people there who don't have college degrees necessarily. You know, there's a whole group of people who are operating really in a service industry. And they also, many of them have mortgages to pay. It's not as though these are people who are incredibly wealthy. Most of them are trying to get by and the job is their lifeline and they're incredibly dedicated and they stay on for decades.
Tell me a little bit more about your concern about the folks that work at the White House. Obviously, nothing or maybe not enough is being done to protect them. What, to your knowledge, what's being done to protect them right now?
Well, we know that the White House issued a statement saying that there are requirements that the staff in the residence coming into contact with the president and the first lady wear personal protective equipment, so masks and gowns. And but it's the concern to me is whether or not the president and the first lady are wearing masks, right? Because it's also about transmitting the virus to them. We also know through reporting that there are about 8 to 10 rotating staffers who are working in the residence now, which is lower than the usual number. I mean, you could have dozens of people upstairs on the second floor, which is really where the family lives, is on the second floor. That's where their bedrooms are, their dining room. There's a small family kitchen upstairs. And, you know, during any given day, it's really bustling upstairs. And so the fact that they've cut down the staff to 8 to 10 says that they're aware that this is not a safe situation and that they need them to be safe. But I'd also like to see them release a statement that makes it clear that the president and the first lady are doing everything they can not to expose the resident staff to the virus.
Bill Yosis, a former pastry chef at the White House, worked there for a number of years. And he says in addition to the vulnerabilities of residence staff, just by virtue of being in close quarters, there's another group of people within that group that's even more vulnerable than they.
And about several years ago, during the Obama administration and even before, there was a program to hire people with developmental or with other disabilities. To their credit, the federal government started hiring people with disabilities, but that there may be people with disabilities within the resident staff. I cannot confirm any particular person or position, but it's quite likely that there are some people with disabilities in the resident staff. Mm-hmm. And certainly whether it's disability of any kind or just age, many people there are over the age of 60. It's the kind of place where people work for a long time and they're devoted to their jobs. Mm-hmm. When I first started there in 06, the director of the grounds was over 80 and did a great job. He's very alert, very good public servant. I don't know if that answers your question quite, but.
No, it does. It does. So let me just ask this as well. Tell me about the interactions and how close they work with the first family and the president.
Sure. Just if I can give a little background first, the as you can imagine, I mean, the president's day is extremely busy. It's chock full of events and of appointments. As a resident staff employee, you're sort of kept in touch moment to moment with that. And so the whole purpose of the resident staff, which has been there since the beginning, 1801, when John Adams started, is to make their life comfortable and allow them to concentrate on their very important duties. So you sort of get a sense as an employee of the White House, this incredible responsibility and privilege of being there. And in every way possible, you are meant to serve the first family and their guests, make their life more comfortable, more efficient. Schedules are very important, time schedules and punctuality, very important. We used to say at the White House, if you're on time, you're 15 minutes late. So you always try to, you know, look ahead and sort of predict or prepare at least for what could possibly happen. And the relationship is fairly cozy, fairly intimate. You're basically, you know, living in the first family's house, whether it's the kitchen or housekeepers, as you mentioned. There's also a slew of other people who are very important to maintain a 200-year-old house: carpenters, electricians, engineers, painters. All these people are going there every day. And interacting mm-hmm. with the first family, and maybe as important, with all of the political appointees from the East and West Wing. Mm-hmm. As the name suggests, those two wings, First Lady's wing is the East Wing, President's the West Wing, are connected by the residence. So there's constant traffic
right
through the White House every day with political appointees on both sides.
Yeah.
And so, therein, I think, lies one of the major problems, because masking, social distancing, all of the things that any company in America does now were obviously not being maintained at the White House.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask you about. The people that do this work, they don't live there at the White House. They come there every day. They commute there. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, yes. No,
okay,
the past, there used to be lodging, but not anymore. No, they're commuting.
Okay, so the people that are working there now, they're working in a space where coronavirus exists, and they're leaving there and going back to their families.
Yeah.
That is a concern to you, correct?
That's the crux of the matter, yeah. Their own health, it's exposing a lot of people. We've seen over 34 people from the complex are already tested positive, and we know that is probably the tip of the iceberg.
Emmett Béliveau, former director of the White House military office, experienced the cramped nature of the West Wing firsthand.
Well, the parts of the West Wing are very close quarters. There are narrow hallways, low ceilings. Much of that staff parks close together. They work close together. They eat in close proximity to each other, often at their desks. They work long hours for 6 to 7 days a week. So the possibility of transmission of a contagious disease seems very high. So I'd be concerned about being in that environment with someone that was contagious.
You were in a position, I think you actually were in a leadership position when it comes to the military valets at the White House at one point, right?
Yeah, the valets that served the president are part of the White House military office.
We heard recently, I think it was this week, that one of the valets that deals with the president was COVID-19 positive. Based on what you know from your experience there, what does that particular individual do for the president?
The valets provide personal service to the president. So that historically, I can't speak to the current practices, but historically, the valets have provided assistance with clothing and luggage, and are the ones that are directly serving the president throughout the course of the day in the Oval Office. So that includes drinks, preparing food, and serving food to the president.
And Beliveau says this is a selfless group of people.
Well, the permanent staff that serves the White House, the members of the White House military office, the men and women of the Secret Service, you know, are never going to let anything come between them and their mission. So I just hope that those in positions of power and leadership are providing them with the protection and the amendments to their practices that are allowing them to stay safe, because they go home to their families at the end of each shift. And while they're incredibly dedicated to their roles and to their mission, they too have to be kept safe.
And Beliveau reminds again, staying safe in the West Wing is really, really hard.
The West Wing especially, and I've had the privilege of working in the executive office building in the West Wing and in the East Wing, but the West Wing particularly is very cramped quarters. There are, you know, desks within feet of other desks. For the 2 years that I worked there, I had two other desks, you know, within 4 feet of my desk. There are, you know, offices in the West Wing so small that they would be considered closets in any other office building. And we really pack people into that space because of the desire to be proximal to the president. So in this type of situation, all those factors cut against the White House's ability to keep people safe. So I just hope that the flexibility is being given to those employees to be able to work from home, work remotely, or at the very least given some PPE or ways that they can protect themselves.
J.J. Green, WTOP News.